Christian have fought many battles. In commemoration of the battle at Pearl Harbor, we've lost a lot of good, honorable, God-fearing, God-loving, country-loving men. I'm thankful for them. Thankful for their service. One of the things that's kind of concerned me as I examine as a minister, I am under obligation and duty bound to examine church history and a lot of the sermons that preachers used to preach and some of the things that the church used to believe. I really contend that I'm an old-time Baptist. But when you look back in the late 1800s, one of the dominant features of the church, one of the things that was not only preached from the pulpits, but was also in the minds and the hearts of God's people, is that the people of God were a militant church. Over and over again, you can just see it not only in the way that they were industrious in achieving great mission accomplishments, but you can also read of the sermons that were preached to people. Books that have been written in the late 1800s by Baptists. The Baptist denomination was a militant denomination. We knew that we were at war. And we desired and we were striving for as a people and as a church and as a denomination, we were striving for victory. We want to see souls saved, won to the Lord, redeemed by the Lord, removed from the clutches of the devil. Listen, we've had a lot of damage that has been done over the last 100 years in this country by the devil. He's taken way too much territory from us. And let's just face it. In our cities, in our communities, in our country, we have faced a great attack. We have been under attack as a nation. The church has even been under attack. We used to realize that there are things that people did that was identified as being part of the devil's philosophy and objectives, part of the devil's strategy. You and people were on the devil's side, and who was on the Lord's side? Today is so mixed and mingled, it seems as though you can't tell if a church is on the Lord's side or the devil's side, or whether Christians are on the Lord's side or the devil's side. One day they're acting like the Lord, and the next day they're acting like the devil. Oh, come on. That's confusing. It's confusing to not only us as a church and as a people, it's confusing to our young people. You want to mess your kids up, you be a hypocrite, and that'll mess them up. Amen. It will. We are at war, and we have a commander. I'm thankful that we have a commander. I'm glad we have somebody in front of us leading us. And in the 19th chapter of Revelation, I'm going to read some of these passages. I've read this on numerous occasions. I preach from these passages. I like these passages. I like reading about victory. The Lord ultimately destroying the devil. I like reading about that. I like reading about righteousness prevailing. It will prevail. I like reading about where sin is destroyed. The enemy. People, we have an enemy. The enemy is the devil. He's out to destroy us. He wants to get us. He is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Don't let him get an inch on the territory of our generation. Don't let him have hold of our church and don't let him have hold of your life. Let's fight him. Let's wage a war against him. What do you say? I wonder this morning who is really on the Lord's side. Are you really on the Lord's side? Are you ready to fight this fight? Now, I was a little concerned Wednesday night. I mean, I hit it hard. I hit it hard about how important it is for us to follow in the footsteps of the Lord. Our warfare is very unique. It's very different. The strategy is different than the worldly strategies. I hit it real hard on how that we're supposed to follow the Lord. We're supposed to follow in His footsteps. Peter was telling us to be meek like the Lord was meek. Be gentle like the Lord was gentle. Be compassionate like the Lord was compassionate. He was telling us to be long-suffering and forgiving like the Lord is long-suffering and forgiving. How that we're supposed to be smart as Christians and not smart alecks. Man, I hit it real hard. How that we must demonstrate, we must constantly and perpetually act and display ourselves in the spirit of the gospel.
Amen.
An agitated, irritated, smart-alecky kind of spirit is not a spirit becoming of the gospel.
Amen.
Peter told us that, and I hit that real hard. You know, and I'm afraid that I hit it so hard that some might think that we're supposed to be passive in the warfare. No. No, we have work to do. We need to be aggressive and zealous and fervent in our prayers. We need to pray for the cause. We need to pray for lost people. We need to not only display a spirit in the way we act and how we present ourselves. I wish all of you were here the night that I taught the lesson on Christian deportment. How that we are to display ourselves in a manner that's becoming of a Christian. That's important, isn't it? We're to look like Christians. Act like Christians. That's really important. But we're not only to demonstrate the warfare in being humble and submissive and unique in a world that's full of anger and rage and hostility and sin, but we're also to display it in the spiritual parts of our lives. One of the best ways we can fight the devil is with the Word of God. You need to know it. You need to get up every morning and read a passage of God's holy word. It will help you with your stress. It'll help you with depression. It'll help you with spiritual woes that come upon you. You're a Christian. You've been born again in the Spirit of God. And Christians feed on God's holy word. You need it. If you're going to live the Christian life, you need this. You've got to have it. You've got to have it in your life daily. You need to pray. People, we're in a warfare. And the strategy and the design of accomplishing victory is laid out for the people of God. We need to be fighting the good fight of faith. We need to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We got too many AWOL. Too many under their own code of their own military code. They think they can just act any way they want to act and dress any way they want to dress and do anything they want to do. Well, they're just not in the same army that I'm in. I'm in the Lord's army. And we've got rules, regulations, and obligations. And we are loyal to it. Amen. This is important to us. The honor of who we are and the honor of our Lord Jesus Christ is at stake. So I want to speak to you a little bit this morning about our great commander. I'll be honest with you, there are times when I get discouraged. I don't know, I need to read these passages, I really do. I'm going to read them in a minute. But there are times, the Bible says in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, we have a commander. He has given a commander for his people. That's important for us to understand. We have a commander. And I'm going to read these. I'm going to stop right here and I'll maybe come back to my thought in just a minute. All right, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. Let me say what I was going to say just a moment ago. There are occasions in my life where I become discouraged. There are occasions in my life where I look at other soldiers and I think, well, they're not really, you know, they're kind of slouchy and they got their gun, I guess you could say, in the wrong place, and they're not properly dressed, and they're not acting properly. Sometimes we look at other people to determine how we're to act, and we get discouraged. We say, "Well, they act this way. Maybe I can act this way." You know, we're not to focus on one another. We're to focus on the Lord. He's the commander. He's out there in front of us. He's showing us how to make progress. He's showing us how to gain ground. He's showing us how to launch the attack. And we need to be right in behind the Lord Jesus Christ. People, that's where it's at. He is my commander. He's out there in front of me. And I'm not looking at deacons or other preachers. I'm not looking at you. I'm looking to Him. He's leading this charge, and I want Him to look back over His shoulder and see me behind Him. Maybe that's not important for you, but that's important for me. Amen. I'm in there behind the Lord Jesus Christ. When the call came out, who's on the Lord's side? I raised my hand. I said, where do I sign up? And I know a lot of people perhaps have discovered they didn't realize what they were signing up for. But I've realized what I've signed up for. To give my life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful. Our Lord has always been and will always be faithful to His people. That's His name. He is called faithful and true. And in righteousness, He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on His head were many crowns. Let me stop here just for a minute. Last night when I started reading some of these last night, I couldn't stop but finish the book of Revelation. You know, that's kind of the way it goes. You get to reading these passages and you're like, the victory. The victory's coming. The commander-in-chief of Christianity, of this great cause, the cause of redemption and of righteousness and of faithfulness and of truth. This great commander coming in power and great glory to destroy the devil completely and everything that has waged war upon righteousness. When you get to the latter part of the book of Revelation, last few chapters, you get to reading about heaven and the city. Four square. 375 miles wide, long, and high. With its 12 foundations. You can imagine a skyscraper 375 miles high, like it is from here to past Indianapolis, Indiana. That's just John saw the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And all of that is a description, a spiritual allegory and description of the great victory that the church will have, the bride in her glory, paradise, the world, and all that has been lost by sin, reclaimed. And when you read that, it all is attributed to the Lamb of God, who is the light of that city. Anyway, Jesus, His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns. I guess the point I was going to make, there's coming a day when we shall lay our crowns if we get one, and we are striving for one, aren't we? We're in a warfare. I like seeing the military and their military apparel with all of their awards. And we see people that have received the Purple Heart. And when you see those badges and those awards that they have, I believe every one of them that is truly dedicated to this country would lay them down at the country's feet. Actually, they've already demonstrated that, haven't they? Huh? They've already laid their life down for this country. Well, the same is true in Christianity. If you get a crown, it's because you've laid your life down for the Lord. That you've lived your life in a way that deserves a crown. Anyway, one of these days we're going to lay all those crowns at His feet. But He has many crowns. He's had many victories that He's achieved for the human race. Many victories that have been accomplished through and by the Lord Jesus Christ, through His church, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And His name is called the Word of God. Here's it, verse 14, notice. And the armies which were in heaven. Listen, if I die and my soul ascends to heaven, when the Lord comes back, I'll be in His army to return to get my body. Amen? The final victory is coming. There were armies. I believe it was not only the armies of the saints that have outstripped us in life, but also the holy angels. Armies coming. Not just army. Armies following the Lord, behind the Lord Jesus Christ, following Him. People, keep in mind, this ongoing warfare that we're involved in, this militant mindedness that we need to have, if it doesn't prevail in this generation, we're going to lose more ground. Fewer people will be saved. Fewer churches will be organized. Your grandchildren and great-grandchildren may not have what you had. We need to leave the kingdom of Christ in better shape than we found it. And that all depends on us being militant, spiritually militant in this great kingdom of Christ. The armies that were in heaven followed Him upon a white horse, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations. And He shall rule with a rod of iron. And He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. I do want to take that text from Isaiah, if you want to turn there. It's in the 55th chapter. Yeah. Verse 4. Behold, I have given Him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. To the people. We have a wonderful leader. Let's think about it just for a moment. We have a wonderful commander. The Lord Jesus Christ is our great commander. He's not only our great shepherd, He's not only the great physician, He is a great commander. He's in charge of this great army. He is our commander in chief. And the reason He is because there was a revolt against God. Sin caused a revolt against God. The devil revolted against God. He lifted Himself up with pride. And when He did that, all of Him and the angels that followed Him, the Bible says that they lost their first estate. And you know, we sided with the devil when we sinned in the Garden of Eden. We sided with not only Him, but all the fallen angels. And we were at odds with God. We transgressed the law of God. And we fell from the safe state that we once were in. But I'm thankful God loved us, aren't you? And He had compassion upon the human race. And in His love and compassion, He sent His only begotten Son that we might trust in Him and be delivered from the damnation because of our transgressions. What did Paul say in Romans 5 and 8? But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us. Sent His only begotten Son to save us. Because of that, we have a great commander. The Bible says clearly that He is the captain of our salvation. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, look there with me. There He tells us how that He is a great captain. Bozrah of the Old Testament, an old word that has reference to the highest of the highest. The greatest of the greatest. He is the Bozrah of commanders. He is the great leader and the great captain of salvation. The Hebrew writer tells us that He has made that we are saved, and this is a result of the captain of our salvation. He says, and it became Him of whom are all things, and by whom are all things, to bring many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation. Listen, the word commander, the word captain implies and signifies that we are at war. That Jesus is leading in the army. That He is going forth in front of the troops. A commander goes forth in front of the troops. He faces the enemy. He goes right up there in front and He challenges face to face the foe. That's actually the commander's responsibility. And that's the character of Christ. To go out there and face our foe and our enemy. Well, what is our enemy? Well, I said it was sin that commenced the revolt against God. And it's sin that our commander went out to destroy. Yes, yes. This is the cause of our commander. To go out and destroy sin. The Bible says that he went out to establish holiness because unless he established holiness, he couldn't destroy sin. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12 and 14 that we need to follow peace with all men. And he said, without a holiness, no man shall see the Lord. We need holiness. And so Jesus Christ went out. That's the cause of this great commander in chief of ours, Jesus Christ. He went out to establish holiness in our lives. And the only way he could establish holiness in our lives was to destroy the wickedness. Listen, if you've never had something happen to you by the Holy Ghost when you repented of your sins and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ that puts you on a different perspective towards sin and righteousness and holiness, you've never been saved. If there wasn't some kind of change that came into your heart and life, listen, if all you had was a fluffy feeling and you went on your way and done your own thing, you didn't get it. I'm telling you, when the blood of Jesus is really applied to your heart, it puts you in a frame of mind and establishes your heart where that you're considerate and you want to have a relationship with a holy God. And that requires holiness. And that's what Jesus came to bring. The cause of holiness is against sin. And that's the kind of cause our commander Christ has. Cause of holiness. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 7 that God hath not called us to uncleanliness. He has called us unto holiness. In Romans 6 and 22, Bible says there that we are to produce in our lives fruit of holiness. Listen, Jesus came to overthrow ignorance and error in our life, crime and pollution and prejudice and unbelief. He came to throw down all rebellion and treason and disloyalty toward God and establish righteousness and holiness in our lives. Wow. He leads in that fight today, and I'm on his side. I think another thing, not only does he have a cause to establish holiness, which is against sin. But he also has a cause to establish happiness in our lives, opposed to misery. Jesus wants you to be happy. but it's his kind of happiness. It's not your kind. It's not worldly kind of happiness. We're talking about spiritual happiness. Happiness that is produced by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Happiness that is the result of knowing and walking and having fellowship with the Lord. Happiness that results from a knowledge, a spiritual knowledge, an awareness where that you stand on the promises of God's holy word and you rejoice in spite of your circumstances. You're happy no matter what. I was reading last night some of B.H. Carroll, and he was telling about a lady that had called him that he'd went to school with and wanted him to bring the church choir, that she was fixing to die and wanted the church choir to come and sing just prior to her death. And she had selected a particular song, and she told him, she said, "Preacher Carroll, I want to leave this world on the wings of the angels with a song on my heart." And so they gathered to her house and the choir sang a song and that she requested. At the very conclusion of that song, she repeated the chorus on her own, sighed, and her soul left her body. I believe you can even face death with happiness. That's really happy, isn't it? Amen. She just went on to be with the Lord. And praise God, that's the kind of knowledge and awareness and understanding God's people have through serving in this great army, we know we're going to be taken care of. We won't be in want. It'd be a shame for our military to be in want. Not have enough food, not have enough medicine, not have enough clothes, not have enough armor and things of that nature. That's a disgrace on any country. But I assure you, that's not the commander we serve. Everything we need will be provided. I'm telling you, in this cause, there's victory and there's happiness and there's joy that the Holy Spirit brings to our life that allows us to combat the misery. The misery is the result of sin. And we can, we can just rest in the joy of the Holy Ghost. Basically, and I'm going to close here in a minute, but he's designed a blessing for every soldier in this army. He has designed a system of happiness. He has designed a strategy for them in their upkeep. He cares for them. Concerned about their camaraderie. Is that important? Can you imagine our soldiers going out there, oh me, oh my, we're going to die, shaking in their boots? Huh? Our military doesn't go out that way. They go out with their head up, amen? With a little fire in their eye and an upbeat step. And that's the way we, as the people of God that are engaged in the spiritual warfare, ought to face the enemy. God is with us. Who can be against us? I mean, the Bible tells us that there's nothing that they can get. There's nothing they can design. There's no weaponry that they can form against us that shall prosper. Isn't that what the Bible says? We can go forth in these pursuits and accomplish great things with happiness and camaraderie and the right attitude. Actually, Jesus came to remove the misery from our lives. A lot of things cause misery. But he came to remove it. I need to move on. This cause of this commander. Well, it's not only holiness against sin and happiness in opposition to misery, but I want to close with the cause of heaven in opposition or against hell. We have not only holiness and happiness, but a commander that's leading us to heaven. That's what that 19th chapter is telling us about. I mean, didn't Jesus tell the church that the gates of hell would not prevail against her? Are we assured that when we get saved by the grace of God that we have escaped hell? That he has delivered us? That there's been victory won? Another one that the devil cannot get when they're saved by the grace of God. I believe that. Jesus said, of all that the Father has given me, I haven't lost one single one of them. And they can't be lost as far as I'm concerned when they're really in the hands of the Lord. I'm afraid though, however, we have a lot of goats mixed among sheep, and that kind of confuses people. It confuses me. I'll just be honest with you. I was listening to a sermon here a while back, and the pastor, he was preaching, and he said, you know what a good God-fearing pastor ought to do is just say, instead of, well, your son or daughter's out there and just away from the Lord, have you ever considered maybe they've just never been saved? Hello. We are, and you know something? The more I think about that, that we would have the nerve to allow our children or grandchildren to go to hell because of our pride. More concerned about us making a mistake than concerned about them being delivered from hell. People, we're in a warfare. We're trying to get people to go to heaven, deliver them and save them from hell. And Jesus wants heaven reigning and ruling in our lives. He is the great commander of this cause. This cause that we're in. I want to close. And I want to assure you that Christ doesn't make any mistakes. I want to assure you that He knows what's going on. He knows what we need. He's the commander. He never has altered His arrangement. He doesn't need to. He is never perplexed or surprised. You don't surprise Him. He knows the strategy of the devil. He knows the next move of the devil. He has infinite knowledge, doesn't He? We need to rely upon Him. We need to trust Him. He never gets confused, nor is He surprised. He knows all about the past, the present, and what's going to happen in the future. And He's given us bits and pieces of it in the book of Revelation. And I assure you, no matter what happens in our generation, Jesus Christ will be victorious. His cause will receive victory and glory. The church will arrive in heaven in victory. That's what is assured to us in the latter part of the book of Revelation. And I thank you for your attention today. May God bless you. Maybe there's somebody here today. You're out there and you're on the devil's side. Look, you're either on the Lord's side or you're on the devil's side. You're either in the kingdom of darkness or you're in the kingdom of light. You're either walking with the devil or you're walking with the Lord. You need to be delivered from the devil. You're either a child of the devil or you're a child of God. No gray area. And Jesus came to bring victory in your life. I assure you, the devil's going to mess you up. Mark it down, he's going to mess you up. He's already got your mind messed up, or you'd already been praying and seeking the Lord and been saved by now. He's already got your mind all messed up. He's got your heart all messed up, where your heart is centered upon self and the world and sin and prosperity and things that will take wings and fly away rather than the spiritual things that are eternal. He's already got your heart messed up. Your heart is centered on worldly things rather than God. And where your heart is, there is where your treasure is. But Jesus, He came to get you out of that misery and that mess. You'll get in a mess. You follow sin. Amen. It'll take you farther than you want to go. Keep there longer than you want to stay. Cost you more than you want to pay. It'll mess you up, mister. And so you need to call on the Lord and ask Him to deliver you and get in behind the great commander and move towards something that's eternal, something bigger than all of us. The cause of Jesus Christ and His glorious kingdom. Get involved in that. And you'll have a blessed life. You'll enjoy serving in this army. Many times we say to our military men, we thank you for your service. And many of them say, I'm glad to have the privilege and honor of serving. And I'm glad to have the honor and the privilege of serving the great commander, Jesus Christ. For He commands my life, and He's the commander of this church and the commander of this great cause. And I assure you, because He is the commander, we will not fail. As you stand to your feet, maybe there's somebody here, as we sing a song, you want to seek the Lord in life to serving Him.